just about all the information that's contained in the FAFSA, the federal government already has. The process of filling out the FAFSA is largely one of transcribing information from tax forms, for example, over into the FAFSA. So one approach is to basically make the 1040 the application, let the IRS take that information and calculate what eligibility for aid would be. This would save parents and students a lot of headache, and the evidence is that it would increase the college attendance, especially of low-income people who appear to find the application a barrier.
Yeah, you mentioned that right there, that it can be a barrier for those with low incomes. Why exactly can it be so difficult for people without much means to fill out forms like this?
It's probably not the income itself, but what goes with it. Many low-income people, they are first-generation college students. Their parents didn't go to college, so they've never filled out the FAFSA. They may not speak English as a first language. An important thing to remember here is that the student, the child, can't complete the FAFSA themselves. It requires the Social Security number, the wage information, the income tax information of the parent. So if the parent is unwilling or unable to fill out the form, that's going to hold the kid back as well. So I would say it's a mix of they haven't learned by doing because they haven't gone to college themselves. There's language barriers. And then there's the fact that for many low-income families, life is just extremely complicated. One parent might be absent, unwilling to cooperate. People may have been in multiple low-paying jobs, and all of this makes life actually pretty complicated.
I noticed in the article you mentioned that there is some legislation to simplify the FAFSA. Now, what would that legislation do exactly?
So Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, and Michael Bennett, Democrat of Colorado, have proposed cutting the application down to two questions, which are about family size and income, which, by the way, both of those pieces of information are in the tax data, and use that to calculate eligibility. I have done work with colleagues, Judith Scott Clayton at Columbia and Mark Wiederspahn at Arizona State University, showing that those particular variables explain over 70 or 80% of the variation in eligibility for the Pell Grant. So you can get pretty darn close to what we currently get with 100 questions using just a couple.
But you still think that that's not quite good enough, right?
My preference would be to get rid of the form altogether. What we found in the past is that each time Congress shortens the form, it then lengthens again. One good example is that a few years back, Congress said that homeless children should have a simplified method for applying with the FAFSA. And so the Department of Education added three complicated questions about homelessness to the form, so the form got longer.
Something the New York Times published to kind of follow up to your column, a little bit of give and take with some of the readers. And I noticed one of the common refrains there was, well, if you can't fill out the FAFSA, then maybe you don't even need to or deserve to go to college. I'm curious what your response is to that line of thinking.
So the ability to fill out complicated financial paperwork is not usually what we use as a gauge of somebody's ability to go to college. I would say the best measure of that is whether they've done well in school and worked hard in their schoolwork. So that's the first point. And the second is it's the parents who have to fill out the FAFSA. And I sure don't want to be keeping kids out of college whose parents, because of language barriers or fear of government, aren't willing to fill out the financial aid form for them.